Chapter 56, The Way Back. The moon had risen over the valley when Firedrake emerged from the Dubedai tunnel with Ben and Sorrel on his back. Lola's plane was whirring around the dragon's horns, and Twigleg was sitting on the back seat. He and Lola had been inseparable ever since the rat saved him from Nettlebrand's jaws. Maya had Berber-chan on her back. She was planning to accompany Firedrake to the monastery. By now, Gravelbeard's hammer had brought two more dragons back to life, and they too came out with Shimmertail to say goodbye to Firedrake and Maya, and to set eyes on the moon again. Only Gravelbeard had stayed in the cave. He was so busy tapping away that he just nodded when the dragon said goodbye to him.
Yeah, see you later.
Come back soon, Shimmertail told Firedrake as they stood at the entrance to the tunnel. And bring the others with you. This valley is much too large for just us. Even if the dwarf does wake all the others. Firedrake nodded. I'll try to bring them, he replied. And if they don't want to come, I'll fly back on my own. He looked around one last time, taking in the white mountains and the black lake, and then gazing up at the starry sky. Then he spread his wings and took off from the rocky slope of the mountainside. Maya caught up and flew beside him until they reached the pass that Firedrake had crossed so recently yet so long ago. He enjoyed flying through the mountains with the other dragon beside him. Sometimes when he was not so sure of the best way, Maya flew ahead with Berber-chan so that the Dubedai Brownie could guide them. But most of the time, the two dragons traveled side by side. Firedrake flew more slowly than usual so Maya could get used to the winds. As they soared above the mountain with the monastery on its steep slope, they saw the dull gleam of the river Indus below. The rat was first to land in the courtyard outside the prayer hall. This time there was no one waiting for them. But before they set off for the rim of heaven, Ben had made a special promise to Barnabas Greenbloom and the llama. No sooner had Firedrake folded his wings than Ben jumped off his back and ran over to the long row of bells swaying gently in the wind beside the flight of steps leading to the Dukang. When he rang the largest of them, its deep, full sound echoed through the night, and soon doors and windows were opening everywhere, and the monks came pouring out of their little cells. They surrounded the two dragons, all laughing and calling out at once. Ben could hardly manage to get back to Firedrake through the crowd. When he had finally made his way over to the dragon, he quickly climbed on his back again to keep watch for the green blooms. Maya was staying very close to Firedrake's side. Her ears twitched nervously as she looked timidly down at the thronging humans. Berber-chan patted her scales soothingly. At last, Ben saw the professor and his family, together with the llama, hurrying toward the dragons. Guinevere was waving wildly. Ben waved back shyly.
Welcome! Cried Barnabas Greenbloom. My word, are we glad to see you!
He was so excited that he almost fell over a couple of young monks who were standing in front of Firedrake, beaming up at him. When the llama whispered something to them, they nodded and busily set about clearing a path for the dragon up the steps to the Dukang. First, Barnabas Greenbloom flung his arms around Firedrake's neck. Then he shook Sorrel's furry paw and finally grinned broadly up at Ben.
Well, dragon rider, he shouted above the hubbub of the voices, shall I make a guess? Between you all, you did it! Am I right? You defeated Nettlebrand, the Golden One!
Ben nodded, what with all his excitement. He couldn't get any words out. The little monks, the youngest was perhaps just half Ben's age, had made a way through the crowd for the dragons, and the llama himself led them up the wide flight of steps to the prayer hall. Maya was glad to disappear into the cool darkness. The llama said a few more words to the monks, who suddenly stood quite still down in the moonlight. Then he closed the heavy door behind the dragons and turned to them with a smile.
Two dragons at once, the professor translated, which means great good luck for our monastery and the valley. Did it all turn out as the prophecy foretold? Has the return of the dragon rider brought us the return of the dragons?
Ben climbed off Firedrake's back and went over to the professor, a shy smile on his face. Yes, I think the dragons will come back, he said. Nettlebrand's gone forever. Barnabas Greenbloom took the boy's hand and shook it vigorously. Guinevere smiled at him. Ben couldn't remember ever having felt happier in his life.
Or more embarrassed.
But it was all of us working together, he stammered.
With brownie spit and dragon fire?
Sora slipped off Firedrake's back.
With homunculus cunning, human reason, an aviator ace rat, and even the help of a dwarf. Although that wasn't exactly what the dwarf intended.
Sounds as if you have a great deal to tell us, said Vita Greenblum.
Ben nodded. A very great deal.
Good.
Rubbing his hands, Barnabas Greenblum exchanged a few words with the llama. Then he turned back to the dragons.
The people here love a good story, he said.
Do you think there'd be time to tell them yours before Firedrake sets off on the journey home?
They'd be very glad to hear it.
The dragons exchanged glances before they both nodded.
Would you like to rest a little first? Asked Barnabas Greenblum solicitously. Would anyone like something to eat and drink?
Sounds like a good idea,
cried Sorrel and Berberchan in unison. So the two brownies had mushrooms to eat while Ben polished off a whole mountain of rice and two chocolate bars that Guinevere had given him. Now that all the excitement was over, his appetite had returned. The dragons lay down on the wooden floor at the far end of the hall with Firedrake resting his head on Maya's back. In the light of the many little lamps illuminating the hall, they looked as if they had just climbed out of one of the pictures on the wall. Then the llama opened the door again and the monks streamed in. The sight of the dragons rooted them to the spot among the columns. Only when Firedrake raised his head and the professor beckoned them forward did the monks approach. Slowly and with hesitant steps, they squatted on the floor at a respectful distance from the dragons. The oldest monks pushed the youngest ones to the front, where they could kneel close to the creature's silver claws. The Greenblums joined the monks, but Ben and the brownies, Twigleg and Lola, sat on the crests of Firedrake's and Maya's tails. When all was still in the hall, and the only sound was the rustling of the monks' robes, Firedrake cleared his throat and began to tell the story in the language of fabulous animals, the language that everyone can understand.